Now we put all our energy into digging for water. We don't have enough time to tend our crops. We can't grow as much as we used to.
Shrinking water supplies affect communities all over the globe. This week on the Nature Stories podcast, we visit a disappearing lake in eastern Ethiopia. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media, curating this podcast in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week we feature pieces about the intersection of people and place. This week's piece, Disappearing Lake, was produced by Jessica Partnow for the World Vision Report, with funding from the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting.
Chala Ahmed should be standing under 25 feet of water. Instead, he's in the middle of a pale, grassy field.
I came out in here at night. In the morning, I just wake up the first time. Then I went outside and see, and then I start crying, you know.
Young children are herding sheep and goats around him as he shades his eyes from the afternoon sun. Ahmed had a dream to build a lakefront home for his family here. The 26-year-old has been working in Minnesota, driving a long-haul truck and saving up to build the house. This is his first visit home in 8 years.
Even right now, for me, when I walk on this lake, I mean, I get emotional, you know, when I remember every little thing I used to do in this lake, you know.
Friends had told him the lake was drying up, but it was hard to believe that a 9-mile stretch of water that had been there all his life could disappear.
It's sad. It's very sad. I never thought this lake was going to be gone because it was a natural thing, you know?
For Ahmed, the water's disappearance came as a sudden shock. But for people living around Lake Haramaya, as it shrank, it was a horrifying decades-long process. Lake Haramaya is a closed water catchment fed only by rainfall, and the amount of water taken out simply overwhelmed the amount going in. Here, farmers frantically dig deeper and deeper into the mud in search of water for their crops. There's still water under the ground here, and in the rainy season, a puddle sometimes forms in the center of the lake. But right now, still months away from rain, the farmers must dig up to 22 feet into the earth before they hit water. Ahmed Dawid's family has been farming the land around Lake Haramaya for generations.
We spend a week digging a well like this one. Then we can go work on our farms for 2 or 3 days.
Like Dawid, many farmers here grow chaat, a mild stimulant popular in the region. Over the past decade, farmers have used irrigation to push the thirsty, deep-rooted shrub to produce 3 or 4 harvests a year. In the dry season, a single kilo can bring 1,000 Ethiopian birr, or more than $100, 10 times the rainy season rate. Dawid says the economic incentive to irrigate is intense.
Now we put all our energy into digging for water. We don't have enough time to tend our crops. We can't grow as much as we used to.
Dawid can see the water he's pumping from the lake bed won't last long. He's sending his 4 children to school in hopes they'll find work other than farming. He laughs when I ask him what will happen when the water goes.
What can we do? We have to follow the will of God.
Farmers have been blamed for what happened to the lake, but others share in the responsibility. A brewery used lake water to make beer, and the city of Harar used Haramaya as its primary source of drinking water. Climate change has only made things worse. The past 2 decades have seen rising temperatures, which lead to more evaporation and increasingly erratic rains.
You know the level of the water.
Okay, it's like a big yardstick that goes up to the top.
This is simply indication of how much it is inside. Mm-hmm. So we do have 3.
Bushara Rashid is head of public relations for the Harar Water Supply. We're looking at the city's 20,000-gallon reservoir, a squat cylindrical tank sitting in the hollow of land that used to be the lake's northern curve. The water comes from boreholes dug into the former lake bed, powered uphill by a humming generator. The system was constructed once it became clear that the lake was going to dry up completely, but it wasn't finished in time.
During the emergency, no school. School was closed. Even there is no water for hand washing.
The emergency started on February 10, 2004, when the pumps bringing lake water to the city of Harar were turned off for the last time. International aid groups sent in water trucks to help the 91,000 who were left without running water. Before the crisis, Rashid had lobbied the government to restrict lake water usage, but the regional and national water ministries each claimed the other was responsible.
So during that emergency pledge, we voiced or screamed that please declare state of emergency.
The town eventually connected its 100-year-old pipes to the hastily dug boreholes, bringing water back to the city. Hydrologists have warned this groundwater will only last a few years. So next year, the town of Harar hopes to bring a new system online, which will pump groundwater from 30 miles away. It's estimated that water source will last 3 decades at the most.
To hear more stories like these, go to the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. Send us your thoughts and feedback to podcast@tnc.org. I'm Samantha Brown in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Join us next time.